Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, with faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's infinite love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. With St. Paul, we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join in the hymn, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, number 140 in your Crimson Harvard hymnal.
Thank you. people of God. Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So let us go and share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning, and you may take your seats. As I said, good morning. I am the Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister here in the Memorial Church, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to our Sunday service today. Here at the Memorial Church, we like to say, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter what you have done or failed to do, and no matter how you are joining us, whether it is online or on the radio or here in person in the sanctuary, you are most welcome here, and we are so grateful for your presence. Today, we are entering the season of Epiphany. Our preacher is our very own Calvin Jones, Assistant Minister in the Memorial Church. We are also leading worship with Elizabeth Probst, our ministry intern. Today's first lesson will be read by Mac McKay, and the second lesson will be read by Valerie Eric. Music is provided by David Von Baron. For more information about our worship services and events and programs, please sign up for our weekly newsletter and visit our website. As we will later hear, in today's gospel lesson, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. Generosity serves as an essential element of baptized life. We bring forth resources to meet the needs of our community and the wider world. Our offering goes to support the work of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Let our giving be a public demonstration of our belonging to the kingdom of God.
Thank you. Please be comfortable in your seats. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning at the first verse. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Here ends the lesson. Please stand as you are able and join me in singing We Three Kings, hymn number 136.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Here ends the lesson.
Let us join together to pray for the needs of the world, saying, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." Father, Papa, Abba, you are the Lord of our beginnings and our endings and all that lies between. We praise you for how you have poured out upon us blessing after blessing, for how you've reached out to us, for how you have come to us, for how you have spoken to us. Help us to live the faith that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and holy God, your eternal purposes revealed to us in Christ Jesus show us that your love extends to the ends of the earth and stretches far beyond our own imaginings. We thank you for such expansive love, for the rich variety of ways you make yourself known among us. We pray for the church, too often afraid of the rich diversity you have designed, too often timid in its proclamation of the gospel before the rulers and powers of this world. We pray for your church with its kaleidoscopic view of baptism. May it meet the needs of all types of people in the world. Strengthen us in our witness. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be bold and confident through the faith in Christ. Heal divisions within the church so that we may truly live as members of the same body. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Today, we also pray for people in positions of power in our country and throughout the world. May they govern with justice and compassion. Give to all who control economic and military might wisdom to choose the common good over personal or political gain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, we pray for the world, that all people and all creation may know that they are your beloved. We pray for those who suffer, that they may know your love for them, and may we be bearers of comfort. We pray for your creation, that it may stay healthy and continue to nourish and nurture us. We pray for people who have little power according to the world's measure of power. Defend those without safety or security. Deliver those in need, put an end to oppression, and save the lives of everyone in harm's way this day and every day. May all victims of violence find their lives redeemed by your love and care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for people who are seeking you this day or searching for new meaning and purpose in their lives. Guide them and direct them in their spiritual journey. Give them the visions to see things of your promise, the wisdom to discern between what is false and what is true, and the courage and curiosity in all their searching. May the joy of Christ surprise them and lead them to a place of welcome. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful One, we pray for those overwhelmed by personal darkness today, the one bowed down in grief, the one overcome by depression, the one who is unemployed or in economic trouble, the one who is struggling with illness or recovery. We pray for those who are estranged from one another and for people undergoing stressful transitions. Send the light and peace of your presence, O God, and send us too, that we might bear the light of Christ and so bring companionship and hope by your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we remember those who have gone before us, and we pray for those nearing death. May they be at peace in your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Stretch us, O God. Expand the horizons of our lives so that we are able to comprehend the mysterious and wonderful ways that you are at work in the world, joining you with joy and thanksgiving. In Christ, through Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now let us join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is so good to see each and every one of you once again here at the Memorial Church. I am so looking forward to all that God has in store for us this year. Let us pray. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God, you alone are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I would like to place a tag upon the selected text that you have heard, for it constitutes the context from which we will attempt to teach and preach. The work of Christmas now begins. The work of Christmas now begins. Love came a-running. Love came a-running through 42 generations. Love came a-running under the moonlight in that red barn. Love came a-running, running through the voice of a prophet. Prepare ye the way, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Love came a-running, running through the proclamation of that great one, that coming one that restore, that would restore Israel. Love came a running through the fulfilled prophecies and promises. Love came a running when divinity wrapped himself in flesh to interrupt the agenda of this world. Love came a running. Love came a-running when Emmanuel entered into time and broke into this fragmented world. Can't you see love running? Love came running when the Son of David divinely interrupted evil forces with hope and peace of restoration. Love came running. And in the words of that great poet Maya Angelou, into this climate of fear and apprehension, Christ enters, streaming lights of joy, ringing bells of hope, and singing carols of forgiveness high up on the bright air. The world is encouraged to come away from rancor, come the way of friendship. It is the glad season. Thunder ebbs to silence and lightning sleeps quietly in the corner. Flood waters recede into memory. Snow becomes a yielding cushion to aid us as we make our way to higher ground. Hope is born again in the faces of children. It rides on the shoulders of our age as they walk into sunset. Hope spreads around the earth, brightening all things, even hate, which crouches breeding in dark corners, end quote. Love came a-running. Love came a-running through that carpenter's son. Love came a-running in that manger. Love came and showed up and showed out, giving the world this renewed sense of hope. And today we are in a new year, feeling renewed because love arrived on that day called Christmas. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas, celebrated that time when love was born, a day where we are reminded that love came a-running. A day where we celebrated the birth of Christ, we prepared, we waited, we prayed, we fasted, and anticipated his arrival. Now we stand on this day on the cusp of greater, wondering what's next. If we could be honest, Christmas for some of us has become a walking paradox. Y'all don't want me to be real today. As soon as the Christmas lights are removed, Christmas is done. As soon as the glow of the Christmas tree has dimmed, even though my wife and our Christmas tree is still up and it may be up until April, Christmas is done. As soon as the Christmas sale sign in the mall has been taken down, Christmas is done. As soon as the presents, Reverend Alana, have been given and packed up, Christmas is over. As soon as the decorations around our home have been removed, after we have taken down the holly and the mistletoe, Christmas becomes an afterthought. Can we be real? As soon as the hot chocolate and marshmallows are placed in our cabinet and we no longer watch that favorite classic called Home Alone, Christmas fades away in our minds. Once again, we send Christ away, hoping that once again Christ would show up in a year, hoping that Christ will come again and restore our broken world, our broken economy, our broken society, and if I must say, our broken church, hoping that Christ will show up again with good news. Once again, we ignore his love through fleeting pageantry. Once again, we view the Christ event as something of yesterday. Once again, we leave Christmas in last year's memory, not realizing that Christmas begins now. Dr. Helen asked these questions: has new life come? Has newness come into our lives? Has newness come into the world? Have we failed to do more? Have we heard the promise and failed to do more? End quote. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus' birth does not stop in December. Maybe, just maybe, Christmas continues. Maybe his birth is not the end in and of itself. Maybe the work of Christmas now begins. What's next? What is our moral obligation? What is the dream or vision that Christ's birth presents? Maybe, just maybe, Christ's birth calls for a new vision and a perspective for the world now. Howard Thurman coins a poem called "The Work of Christmas Begins Now." He says, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart, end quote. We must be reminded today that the birth of Christ does not stop. The birth of Christ must continue in each and every one of you. In our gospel today, the book of Matthew, the writer presents John, the one who has been crying out in the wilderness, talking about love is coming. The one who has been crying out in the wilderness saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who has spoken of this through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And it's important to note here that it has been 30 years since Christ was born. John is crying out to anyone who would listen, that there is more work that should be done. But I'm sure that many had heard about the birth of the baby through Mary, but that had faded away. That night in Bethlehem had faded away. How many times do we come to church and we hear the word of God, but as soon as we step out of those doors, the message fades away. John cries out that there is more work for us to do, that the work of Christmas is coming, that the work of Christmas is coming soon. John tells the Pharisees and Sadducees, I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. My grandmother used to tell me, Calvin, the Holy Spirit is not just for you. And later in the text, Jesus appears 30 years later. Jesus is now 30 and appears to John the Baptist. He comes from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. The Son of God wants to be baptized. Emmanuel, God in the flesh, wants to be baptized. And I can hear John the Baptist saying, you are God's son. You are king. You are powerful. You are the one that I've been prophesying about. If anything, I'm a mess. You need to baptize me. If anything, I'm the one that needs some holiness. But it is interesting to note here, Elizabeth, many people look at baptism for those who may be new to the faith, for those who are not churched, those who are coming to rededicate their lives to God, for those who joined the church or maybe starting out as a Christian. But the writer of Matthew, in my homiletical imagination, does something very interesting here. Jesus is no new convert. Jesus is not new to this Christian thing. Jesus has not gone through the new member class, nor has he gone through confirmation. This is the Son of God being baptized by someone else. Maybe the writer is making a point and a new perspective about baptism. Maybe, just maybe, this tells the reader that baptism is not only a symbol of a person entering into a new spiritual walk with Christ. Maybe baptism represents a moment where the Spirit of God invites anyone, everyone, those who are willing to accomplish the vision of God to transform this world. Maybe baptism is not just for you. Maybe baptism is not for you to have a certificate on your wall of how holy I am or how I have come to join this community. Maybe baptism is, can you stand up for justice even when it seems like everybody is against you? This event symbolizes the work of Christmas, the true work of Christmas. Christ's baptism shows us that baptism is more than a ceremony in church. It is a commitment that will change the trajectory of not only your life, but by the lives of everyone around you. In this moment, the work of Christmas says that we must participate in God's invitation to actually be the good news in a dying and troubling world. It is the moment where we truly do the work of God, where we have the power of God in us to accomplish that which will change the world, where we have the power to love our enemies, to give sight to the blind, to help those who are marginalized, to preach good news to those who are oppressed and imprisoned, to give good news to the sick and the widows, to truly forgive, to truly be a light in a dark world, to eradicate hate in all forms. That is the true work of Christmas. Baptism is our answer to what is next after the Christmas tree has been removed. Baptism is our answer to what happens when the wise men leave. Baptism is our answer to the 30 years that we have been wondering what Christ has been up to. Baptism is the answer to that what God calls us to. Baptism is the affirmation of the Holy One that will ignite the prophetic duty for ministry. It is the renewed presence of God that will enable Christ to not only spread love by words alone, but through action. An action that will cause the deaf to hear, an action that will cause the dead to be raised, an action that will cause the blind to see. Baptism is causing an action that will cause the world to hate Jesus. When you truly do the work of Christmas, everyone will not like you. It is more than a day where we celebrate our entrance into the community of God before our family and friends. Baptism is where the true work of Christ begins. Maybe baptism is our answer to what you are called to do in this new year of our Lord, 2023. If you could do something, I want you to just look around the room at your neighbor. Don't be bashful. Maybe, just maybe, the people that you are looking to or at, these are the answers to what is troubling our world. Maybe baptism through those people in this room will call for love to enter into our society. Baptism is our answer to be the hands and feet of God's power in the earth. Baptism is where the true work of Christ is baptized. And maybe when we do the true work of Christ, that's what really makes God happy. I used to think that making God happy was putting on this air that I was sanctimonious, or I have been doing this. I've been an usher. I've been a singer. I've been a preacher. I've been doing all these things that should make people like me. But maybe, just maybe, God is saying, I want to be happy with those who truly do the work of justice. You may say, preacher, what makes you say that? It is when Christ is baptized and Christ says, now I'm getting ready to do the real work, that's when the scripture says that the heavens are open and the Spirit of God descends like a dove, and a voice cries out and says, this is my son right here. Maybe that's when God will say, that's my daughter, that's my son right there, because they are proclaiming the good news that interrupts pharaonic powers. Maybe that's my son and my daughter right there, because they are proclaiming the good news that goes against any evil force. And as I go to my seat, today we celebrate Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord. And as we celebrate this manifestation and powerful moment of revelation, may we be reminded that the true work of Christmas begins today. May we be reminded that every one of you in this room under the sound of my voice has a moral obligation to utilize your baptism with Christ to make the world better. May we be reminded that the Spirit of God will use you to fulfill your divine purpose. May the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love to encourage me, lifting my heart from despair, how you love me and care for me. Speak to my heart, speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. Hey, I never go on my own. Just as your Spirit guide and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I never go on my own. Just as your Spirit guide and your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. I never go on my own. Just let your Spirit guide and your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, I know what to do. I won't go alone.
I know we don't want to have to listen to our own voices after that, but please join us for our closing hymn, How Firm a Foundation, number 282 in your Crimson Hymnal.
Thank you.
Today, as we leave this place, remembering that this is the day we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, may we be reminded that we are invited to participate in his baptism with this hope and with this obligation that the work of Christmas begins today. May you go in peace.